Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Make no mistake, lack of self-love will kill you. Because if you don't know how to take care of yourself, if you don't know what your needs are, if you're not connected to yourself, you're going to be lost mentally, spiritually, financially, physically. You're going to be lost and you're going to chase other people, but the answers actually lie within you.
Welcome to Shift Talking, a podcast where we explore the art and science of behavior change. I'm your host, Davina Hain, a mental health coach and founder of A Steady Space. Join me as we discuss actionable tips, inspiring stories, and expert insights to help you create lasting change once and for all. Now, let's get to the Shift Talking. Hi, 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 and welcome to 2025. I am so excited to kick off the year with a conversation that's as transformative as it is inspiring. The start of a new year, even though we all know how I feel about those resolutions, it is still a really good time to reflect on who we are, where we've been, and where we're headed. And that's why I couldn't think of a better guest to begin this journey with than Dolly. Dolly is an experienced trauma recovery registered nurse. She's licensed in California, and she's also a holistic mental health life coach with over 2 decades of experience providing behavioral and mental health coaching to families and individuals in crisis. She's able to integrate a range of modalities into her work. She uses CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, the 12-step approach, somatic healing, and so much inner child work. All of this is delivered through a holistic spiritual lens that treats the whole being, mind, body, and soul. Her expertise aligns so beautifully with everything Shift represents, which is, of course, that self, the healing, the innovation, fortitude, and transformation. And because this conversation is so rich and layered, I've decided to break it into 3 parts to make it just more digestible. In this first segment, we'll dive into Dolly's background, her personal journey of healing, and an introduction to this groundbreaking concept that she has developed of self-love languages. Then in the next 2 parts, we'll go deeper into how to actually apply these languages to your life. So trust me, you're going to want to stick with this one all the way through. There are some times that you will hear a little bit of an echo throughout the recording. I promise you, it won't matter. You are going to love listening to this. I hope you do as much as I loved engaging within it. And so here is Dolly.
Alrighty. Hi.
Yeah. Hi. I'm so glad to have you here. I'm new to having guests. You are my 3rd guest that I've interviewed. So other than listening to a bunch of podcasts where they have guests, I'm still getting my bearings of doing this and leading this. So if there's anything you want modified or anything, just let me know.
Okay. Yeah, will do. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. And yeah. I'm also getting more into guesting because I just wrote and published my book. So I'm more like going to other, because usually I have guests come to me and discuss, or I do a lot of coaching. But yeah, this is exciting to meet new people and spread the word. Yeah, so happy.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that we met quickly on Threads, and then this happened within about a week. So this is so exciting. What is it like for you on social media and like promoting your book? What's that like for you?
So, you know, I have a following, which I've cultivated over a period of time. And we're all aligned community learning how to love ourselves, because the conditioning from childhood trauma is so difficult to handle as an adult. Because as an adult, you're trying to live your life, you're trying to grow, but then childhood trauma gets in the way. So my community on Instagram, on YouTube, my coaching community is all people who are learning to get past their childhood trauma and self-actualize, grow, and be all that they can be. So how is it? I think it's good. It's very nourishing, nurturing to have people who think like you and understand you kind of almost feel your pain and have compassion for it. So it feels good. That's what I would say. Social media to me feels good.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's allowing for so much more connection where we're not really meeting in person as much these days. And so we can also kind of get that same quality. And really, and what I really love about the work that even just the space that we're both in is that we get to jump in really quickly into like the depths versus like the surface level that can sometimes happen when we meet in person first.
Right. Yeah. Isn't that interesting that you come prepared to drop your guard and be vulnerable? But in person, when you meet someone, there's just, I think it's previous conditioning that gets in the way because you have so much in your head from before that you're like, I don't know if I can do this, right? People just have so many hangups that get in the way. So yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think there is, like, I definitely fall within that of like, oh, I tend to be much less socially awkward through this than in person when I don't really know where I'm walking into and you walk in with like a name tag and it's just the whole like ick of that is really hard for me. Mm-hmm. And I have, of course, I play this like low light reel of all the times that I previously said the wrong thing or came through as awkward or uncomfortable or what did they think and what did they feel? And this is the vibe I got. Oh,
you are not alone. Me too.
It's rough. So tell me first, where are you joining from? Where are you located?
Yeah. So I am mental health practitioner. I am licensed and practicing in California. Yeah, at local hospital. And I have my own coaching online as well. So community online, which is really supportive. And now I've come out with my new book. So excited about that.
That's so exciting. That is no small feat. Let's start a little bit more at the beginning. What got you into this work? Were you always within the mental health field or how did that work?
So to be honest, my training to be a mental health trauma recovery professional started in childhood when I endured firsthand childhood trauma, codependency, just the conditioning to be a self-saboteur. Conditioning to put other people first, become a total, absolute, a good people pleaser, just the perfectionist, right? Yeah. So I was raised to just take care of my grandfather who was a stroke patient. So my training in nursing began as a child. And that's the only aspect of me that was just highlighted and celebrated and welcomed. Mm-hmm. All other parts of me, the opinionated part, the part that wants to feel other things and explore the independence, that was kind of denied almost. You know, they were like, oh, you're so good. And so then being the good girl, I went to school for nursing. I got master's in nursing. I studied and practiced mental health and in hospital in crisis line. So when I'm going to date myself, but when 9/11 happened, I was on the county's crisis line. And phones started ringing with so many people. That's the first time I noticed our nation's mental health started to fall apart.
Mm.
You know, and that's when truly I started writing my book, when 9/11 started.
Wow. How profound. You know, I think a lot of us that end up in a helping profession, we tend to have taken that role in childhood.
Yes.
And then we follow through with it. So was there any kind of identity crisis at any point of, is this really for me or is this because I was conditioned to become this person?
I've always honored and celebrated this part of me because I see the impact this part has on other people and how healing, because as a little girl, I trained myself to maintain the frequency of healing to keep my grandfather alive and happy as a stroke patient. So that just became a main thread in my life. Yes, I've questioned it a few times because, you know, the world appreciates money and that type of glamour, right? So sometimes I would say I question it and definitely went through my own dark night of the soul where I questioned everything in my life and I was crawling on the floor, even though I had all the knowledge I got from Eastern spirituality, from Western School of Medicine. And just, I went to the best schools and I had the most amazing mentors and educators. That's my dog, Max, if you hear him. But yeah, I had the most amazing mentors and educators, and my mother was my best teacher. But you have to follow your own path and your own journey, and nobody can escape the dark night of the soul. For any transformation to truly happen, you do collapse spiritually.
Yeah.
And then you revive yourself. And that process, that as I've gone through, my spirit has grown and matured to a point that I'm ready and able and willing to help and honor other people's suffering.
Yes. And it's so beautiful. And that's where I think it is, that sometimes we can look back and say, oh, right, like I became this person because I was conditioned, and it can feel like we didn't have a choice.
Right.
And then we see all of the beauty that can come out of it, being these agents of change for other people. And then it really does show that the reason I was able to be conditioned that way was because I was predisposed to be
in this position. Yeah. And Davina, as much as I disliked that I had such traumatic childhood, the beauty, like you said, the beauty that came from it, like the caterpillar became the butterfly.
Yeah. I'm always so interested, of course, as we always have this training within culture and how those types of things impact us coming from collectivist cultures versus individualistic cultures. How has your culture defined and contributed to the type of practitioner you are?
Yeah, so that's a really great question. And I'm glad you asked me this because when we practice, no individual exists in a bubble. Especially now that we're so globally connected, what happens on other continents affects us, the wars, the natural disasters. Mm-hmm. So it's a theme that is putting us all together collectively, and it's affecting us individually. So when I help people heal, I keep that in mind, because highly sensitive people who've gone through trauma, are affected by what's happening in other parts of the world as well as what's happening within them.
Mm-hmm.
So keeping that in mind is so important. I do come from a culture that celebrates collective growth and growth and well-being of the whole society. And you, as an individual, you contribute first to the culture and the people, and then you think about yourself. Sometimes they take it too far. But so you've got to, as you mature and grow in your healing and your life, you've got to find that balance of how much do I hurt for others, and where do I draw that internal boundary of now I've got to get up and take care of myself. I cannot give away all my power into empathizing or doing for others.
Yeah, and that's where I think it is this very fine line between empathy and compassion. Right? Like empathy is like, oh, I feel for you and it's my job to fix it for you, versus compassion of, oh, I feel for you and there's only so much that I can
do. Exactly. Oh my God, I love it. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Compassion is, I am human, you are human. I am suffering and you are suffering too. There's no comparison in suffering. I see you suffering, my brother, my sister, and I see you and I'm here. I hold space for you. I'm not going to fix it. I'm not going to solve it for you. I might give you some guidance if you ask me, but I see you suffering. And so many times that's all it takes, you know?
Yeah. And that's what I think it is that's where I think we lose each other so much, is because we're trying to fix it for other people when they're not even ready for a solution. And the solutions that we're going to come up with likely aren't right for them.
Yeah, exactly. Let me tell you something. You know, this is what I've learned as well, the hard way. So many times when I help fix somebody else's issue because I've gone through it too, they may love that advice in the moment. They even may take your advice, but eventually they're going to resent you for it because you took away something from them. You took away the opportunity for them to grow, heal, and become the higher version of their own self. Now you just handed them the solution and they're still stuck. You did not teach them to fish. You gave them the fish.
Right. And you gave them a lot of them, which gives them the illusion that they learned how to do it.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me all about your book, even though you started writing it, you know, decades ago. How did this come to fruition? Tell me about the 5 self-love languages. I'm so ready to learn.
So excited for that. Yeah. So as I saw clients, patients at the hospital, my own self, my family members, what I realized is that everybody came to me saying, I have depression, anxiety because nobody cares about me. I want to die, kill myself because nobody really wants me here, right? And the world has taught everybody the five love languages, but nobody taught us how to love, take care of ourselves. And people got into this habit of waiting for others to validate them, love them, show them how to take care of themselves, show them their worth and value. So I've realized that most of human suffering comes from when you reject your own self and you chase other people to give you what you should give to yourself first. And that was me. That was my mother. The reason my mother passed is because she was not able to love and care for self, even though she was there for the society, she was there for community. She was the best mother we could have had. You know, so make no mistake, lack of self-love will kill you. Because if you don't know how to take care of yourself, if you don't know what your needs are, if you're not connected to yourself, you're going to be lost mentally, spiritually, financially, physically. You're going to be lost and you're going to chase other people, but the answers actually lie within you. So the book really is the result of the suffering that I've witnessed in all codependents around the world, people who have rejected their own true self, people who refuse to learn about themselves, people who are conditioned to love others first and only others. So the suffering of my patients, my own suffering, my mother's suffering, and the suffering of so many women around us who are stuck in trauma bonds with narcissists because they are not able to give themselves the breadcrumb that they chase the narcissist for.
Yes.
So the book really is my notes and chapters. And so the book was really a coaching program for a long time. And a lot of people really benefited from it. And then the publisher and I put it together and now it's a book. Wow. So the book really...
So here's the book. Yeah,
please.
This little baby.
Yeah. Oh, you can see the... But yeah, this is the five self-love languages. And it's a blueprint. So the book really is a guide. And it's written like a how-to guide to becoming the source and the magnet of love, freedom, and abundance. Yes. Abundance of love, money, relationships, self-growth.
Yeah.
You know? And so many women forget how to do that.
Yeah, well, and I think that that's kind of ingrained within us. And, you know, we would assume that ingraining comes mainly within collectivist cultures only, right? Like you exist to take care of all of these other people. But even here in the U.S., that is so much of an individualistic culture, there's so much even more of that, especially for women, of take care of men and then take care of your children. Take care of your partner first. And then your children, and then if there's anything left, you take care of you. And there is kind of this then flip of if you do take care of you first or even second, that's selfish.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get to do that. And how dare you, right?
Yep.
And so how do we work through that dissonance there?
Yeah, you know, these narratives that women have bought into of them needing to prove themselves, prove your worth. Do the job that the society, the men that they've given you. We've bought into this narrative for so long and it's hurting us. We fawn and we wait. We're conditioned to wait. Why? Because you need protection and provision from others. No, you don't. It's another lie that has been told to you that you're not worthy or capable. You're going to need a man or you're going to need others. So you better make sure you go above and beyond. So it's fear. Women are controlled by fear, shame, and toxic guilt.
Yeah.
And that's not only in the United States. It's women all over the world. You could talk to a woman in Afghanistan. You could talk to a woman in California. It's the same story. It's the same story. Same narrative of fear, shame, guilt to control you. To have you do what needs to be done for other, and you forget about yourself. So that's the book all about, your journey home to loving yourself. So how you get to know yourself. So the five self-love languages, let's get into
it. Yes, tell me everything.
Okay, so like self-attunement, you know, getting to know yourself. That's the first self-love language. You've got to know yourself, and not just the parts that you love or others celebrate. You've got to learn self-attune. So the language of self-attunement is getting to know all parts of you. And the book teaches you how to self-attune to your emotions, your trauma responses, your intuition, your body, your higher self. So that attunement, like really deeply get to know your inner child, your inner critic, your addictions. So the book teaches you the first self-love language is self-attunement, which is attuning and really getting to know all parts of you.
You guys, do you see what I mean about Dolly? So within this deep personal journey of hers, right, it led her to this transformative work, and it's so clear how much wisdom and heart she brings with her here. I love how she's laid the groundwork for what's to come, starting with self-attunement, the first of her five self-love languages. So in the next segment, we're going to dive deeper into what self-attunement really means, along with the other self-love languages that build on this foundation. Trust me, join us here. It was one of the best conversations I have had in a very long time. I could have talked to her for days. All of her information is linked in the show notes below. And so stay steady until I see you next week for part 2.